And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
My girlfriend thinks I'm a poser, and I'm not a poser. I am a real emo. Emo is who I am.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, April 28th. Happy bump. Nope, not bump. Hump day. I was thinking about Bump. Remember Bump? We used to work with him.
Sure.
I was thinking about his, I think because Lee was showing us pencils and Bump had a lot of pens and I had Bump somehow in my head, but it's actually a hump day. Anyway, I'm J.E. Skeets. Along with me, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lily. And last but not least, to making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, leave your comments, and please, please, please subscribe. We are inching our way closer to 40K, sub by sub. So play your part and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Step and Podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Hitting the beach later this afternoon, guys, so you can join us live at 3 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. We'll have it up soon after that, wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Always a fun time on the beach. You guys sent in another great batch of questions and comments, so we'll have some fun there. Again, later this afternoon here on a Wednesday. And finally, go grab your sweet No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And before I get into what's on today's show, Lee, I can't believe I didn't say this over the last couple days. Unbelievable, very solid play last Friday with Bo Estes, the guy that is the voice, the goatmentator of the NBA and NBL top 10 plays. So great job. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun. I was just trying to spice it up a little bit, and I thought he was the perfect guy for that. Sent him a little DM. He responded straight away, and then just all came together. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun with the big bow.
Yeah, and you were dropping bars in your setup for him. And, like, a lot of people wanted to know, did you write the VSP, like, rhymes for him, or was that all...
Of course not. No,
it's all him.
No, you know I like to outsource my work anyway.
For
and
sure.
I thought I'll give him the plays and he can do whatever he wants with them. And I thought he just did a perfect job. But I wrote my own intro and surprised myself, to be honest.
Yeah, it turns out you're a good rapper when there's absolutely no music behind you. That's the key for you.
A spoken word genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm lagging here, so I don't know if you guys are seeing this or not, but yeah, I just, you know, just started writing it out, and then it just grew and grew and grew, and now I've got a frog in my throat. What a great start to the day this is.
Oh, yeah. Happy bump day, everyone.
Happy bump day, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I really got us off to a great start. You know what? I blame that stupid cold open for this rough start. You know, it was too quick. I wasn't ready to go. You know, okay, he's emo. I get it. Oh, jeez. Discombobulated here on a Wednesday. It's okay. We got tweet of the night. We got pick 'em results. Trey, you do have a fun top five for us, which I'm excited about. We haven't had a top five in a while here. But first, guys, let's play a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah. You want to drop some bars over this, Lee? It's a nice beat there for you. No?
The top short shot boys are hot. We're about to play What You Got. So tell me all you got. I want to hear the lot.
Okay. You know what?
Not bad.
Not bad. Not for bad. Right on the spot. Off the top of the dome there, Lee Ellis. Okay, first one. We had some wild outcomes in the association on Tuesday. In Boston, Lou Dort. Dort! Drop your Dorts in the stream team. Scored 24 as OKC upset the Celtics, hurting the C's playoff position in the process. We'll get to that. That was bad. This might be worse. I don't know. The Warriors were stuck on 12 points for over 9 minutes. The NBA's longest scoring drought in almost a dozen years during a 133-103 loss to Dallas. The visiting Mavs there went on a 28-0 run it was over in a hurry, and I imagine a lot of people were, okay, done with this game, and clicking away.
Night.
Yeah, so, both pretty brutal here, but what was the more embarrassing loss? TK, you can get us started. So the Celtics losing to OKC, or the Warriors not being able to score there for basically 10 minutes to the Dallas Mavericks. What you got?
Oh, Skeets, it's got to be the Beantown blowout. I know what you're thinking. The Celtics, they only lost by 4 points. But losing by 4 points to the Thunder, that's kind of like losing by 30. Because as John Hollinger pointed out yesterday, coming in to this matchup against the Celtics, the Thunder had lost 14 in a row. All but three of them were by double figures. He said a 25-game season-ending losing streak is definitely on the table. Just an amazing tank to the finish line. You can't deny it. But then, the Celtics lost, and you can't blame them, going against Lugans legend. He saw the Thunder on the verge of setting a franchise record with 15 straight losses. Quote Lou Dort, I saw that today, and I said to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Shai, we're winning today. Oh, that's a Dort and T right there. But still, embarrassing stuff for the Celtics. No Tatum, no Kemba, no Boston Rob. This should still be a win for the Celtics, especially if they're trying to avoid this play-in tournament. But like Jaylen Brown said, Celtics didn't come out with any sense of urgency. Just assumed they would beat the Thunder. You saw in the last minute, wide open lanes for the Thunder to get dunks. You got to go out and actually beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. OKC turned the ball over 27 times. They blew a double-digit lead in the second half. They tried to give this thing away. Boston still couldn't take it. I hated that Master Chief and Happy Wedge had to see this in person. Celtics now tied with Miami at 32-30. These two teams have a couple of games against each other left this season. That might determine which of these teams is safe in the sixth spot and which of them is safe in seventh, because the Celtics, they have been struggling, and that was an ugly one last night. It's only a 4-point loss, but it feels like a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. Was that more embarrassing, though, Lili, than the Warriors, again, just forgetting how to score the basketball for a good chunk of that game?
I mean, the Warriors losing to the Mavericks is not a bad loss. I mean, the Mavericks, you expect, would sort of have a bit of a bounce-back performance from losing to the Kings a night earlier. The way that they gave up 28-0 is obviously pretty bad when you've got the greatest scorer maybe of all time on your team. So things went bad there for the Golden State Warriors. But yeah, the Boston Celtics, I think, just decided they were going to win this game last night and didn't really count on the Thunder lighting them up from outside and inside. And that's the thing with the Celtics. They've had some wins recently over the Warriors and the Phoenix Suns, and then they dropped this absolute stinker at home here to the Thunder. They tried to make it close, but the Thunder held firm, knocked in some free throws at the end. And I honestly don't really know if anyone's even seeing me right now, because I've got the Wi-Fi signal.
No, we're seeing you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're a little, robotic, a little
I've
laggy.
I've got the Wi-Fi signal up here on the StreamYard, and you know when it's down to just one bar, it's there, and I'm just like, well, just keep going, just plow through, because it goes through still okay on the GarageBand. But yeah, this is the one that the Celtics, I think, probably just came into this game complacent and thought that the Thunder are tanking, we're going to win this game, and they got spanked in the end. I know it again, it's only 4 points, but that's one of the worst teams in the league, and they shouldn't be losing those at this point of the season.
You said it was a stinker. Was it a stinker in the sense of a stinky burp or a stinky fart?
Oh, that was a burp. That was a burp for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Warriors' loss was a fart, because it
that's
was like,
fart.
Yeah.
Comical,
it was like, yeah, we just couldn't, you know, we couldn't get it going. But that's one of those ones you're just like, oh, and Scalabrine and Mike Gorman on the broadcast are just kind of like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, every time, like, because the Thunder last night looked like a team. You're like, wow, how are they bad? Because they moved that ball, hit open shots, and then when the defense came out, they just went inside and scored without any resistance from Boston. So this is a good win for OKC. What does it mean? Absolutely nothing, really, for them. It's, they're not trying to win, but they just stumbled across one last night.
Yeah, like Trey said, Celtics Heat tied for sixth. Charlotte just a game back in the loss column there. So unless the Knicks or the Hawks go on a crazy losing streak here over the next couple weeks, two of those three teams that I just said there, Celtics, Heat, and Charlotte, they're going to be in the play-in game. They're going to probably be there in a 7-8 matchup to get in, just to be the seventh seed and to avoid having to play another game against the winner of the 9-10 matchup there, whoever that is. If it's still the Pacers, if it's the Wizards, is it the Bulls, is it the Zombie Raps, who knows. So tough loss, both pretty ugly though. Again, the Warriors game was over very quickly, but yeah, losing to the Thunder on a 14-game losing streak. That's bad, especially at home.
That's bad.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree. That's more embarrassing. All right, our next one, guys. Anfernee Simons made his first 9 three-pointers to help the Blazers snap a season-high 5-game losing streak, 133-112 win over the Pacers. Good news for me in the pick'em. We'll get to that later. Also last night, Karl Anthony Towns scored 31 points as the Wolves beat the Rockets 114-107 for their third straight victory. First time Mini has won 3 in a row since starting 3-0 in the 1920 season. So the question here, a little bit weird, but Lee, get us started. Hopefully you can hear us still. More surprising, Anfernee hit 9 straight three-pointers or the Wolves putting together a 3-game win streak here in late April?
I have to go with Anfernee Simons, because what he did by hitting those 9 threes, and in fact that stretch over a few games was 13 consecutive. That's only been done 3 times in history. Shake Milton did it. Terry Mills and Brent Barry did it.
Yeah,
so,
Bones.
So I go with that, and I also docked the Timberwolves 1 point because it was the Rockets, but their first 2 wins were against the Jazz, so they, you know, that's impressive. But I sort of thought this could be the game as well that the Wolves just like fall asleep against the Rockets. They didn't, so they win. But Anfernee Simons, I mean, this is a guy who's not a bad 3-point shooter, and I think the Blazers do have high hopes for him. He hasn't necessarily lived up to those at this point. But he was knocking in those shots with confidence. They were looking for him. And the Blazers needed, you know, considering how badly they've been playing lately, they needed someone to come out there and give them a bit of a spark. Lillard was much better last night. He looked much healthier. But to get a bonus like that from Anfernee Simons, I think, was great. So finished with a career high, 27 points, 4 rebounds, shot the ball with great confidence. And again, if he can provide some sort of production consistently off the bench for them, that'll be a big boost for them, because I think they do need a guy like that to help spread the floor. So I'm going with that. Congrats to the Wolves. When you first said their first 3-game win streak since 1920, I thought you were having a bit of a joke that it's been 100
right.
years here.
The 1920 season, yes.
Yes. I think just because it was the Rockets, basically any other team, and I would have gone probably with the Timberwolves, but it was the Rockets. So, but well done to the Timberwolves for winning 3 in a row.
Okay, Trey, same question, of course. What you got with this? More surprising, Simons with the 9 straight three-pointers made there, like he was Klay Thompson, or the Wolves winning 3 straight?
I think it's got to be the 9 threes, just because, like Lee's saying, the list of people who have done it, not very long. So to get it from Anfernee Simons, exciting stuff. The guy's their current dunk contest champion. There's always the question, who could win a dunk contest in a 3-point contest? Yeah. You make 9 straight, maybe Anfernee Simons is in the mix. Also on that Portland game, I predicted a beef last night. Didn't happen. Though, the Blazers did crush it on the boards, and Enes Kanter had 14 rebounds in 15 minutes.
Whoa.
That's a roast beef slider.
You know, a little smaller roast beef. He had 9 offensive rebounds, but he was being very honest. He tweeted after the game, "Y'all are crazy. I'm not missing shots on purpose to get more offensive rebounds." I love it. This guy is very cognizant of his beefs. But yeah, I'm a little bit more surprised by a 9 three-point game, especially making the first 9 of them, than I am by a team who, you know, you see these teams at the end of a season. Sometimes it's the Timberwolves this year. They've got their 3-game winning streak. The Kings did it last year, put together a nice streak. Yeah. Once the games don't matter, it can be a little easier to win those games when you're a bad team. You just got to come out and actually play hard. And credit to the Timberwolves. They are coming out and playing hard. And Towns is balling right now. So a nice win for the Timberwolves. We just need to see it in, you know, the first 2 months of the season, like you were saying the other day, Skeets.
Yeah, I heard the Daily Ding talking today, Lee, on their podcast this morning about, just like you, loving D'Angelo Russell coming off the bench. It's an expensive player to be coming off the bench, but, you know, he flourished in that role with Brooklyn at times, and so far so good with Minnesota, because he's coming off again and had another great game, I thought.
Yeah, I just don't think he's in that sort of super elite level of point guard in the league to start, but coming off, I can definitely see a Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams type guy. Yeah. Just comes out there and scores, you know, because he's
still
not
plays
a great...
a ton of minutes. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like Rubio sort of starts, sets the table a little bit, and then, yeah, he comes in, yeah.
And I think you could make the case as well, he's a better distributor than both of those guys as well. Like, he does pass the ball, he moves it around, but he's got that shot. So I can see that being a role that he would thrive in. But again, if that, when someone sort of said to him, we want you to come off the bench, I'm not sure how he would take that as a full-time thing. But,
right.
You know, something there for sure. He looks comfortable in that role.
Simons, by the way, I checked it. He was shooting 42.4% from three on the season heading into last night's game. He left that win over the Pacers shooting 44.4%. So a nice little bump there. Hit 9 out of 10, I guess, will help you. I didn't realize he had been shooting that well, like, overall from the floor. I know he's not Steph Curry in terms of, like, pure attempts out there. But I remember you and I, Trey, a long time ago. I don't even know how long ago at this point. But, like, on this very podcast, debating, like... whether you would include Simons in a trade, like when we were talking about the Blazers maybe trying to shake things up, get another star in there, and he was a bit of a holdup, right? It's like he looks promising at times. You see the flashes. He's super young, of course, even still. And this was, again, a couple years ago, I think, when we were debating it. And we were torn on, like, yeah, what do you mean? Like, I remember you saying, like, come on, you're putting Simons in a lot of these deals if you're getting, like, a star player back. But maybe, you know, the Blazers see something in him, of course, and it's tough to always give up on a young talent that you've drafted and are trying to groom. He just can't do it consistently yet. But yeah, look, hitting 9 threes is pretty special. So maybe he'll turn it on here down the stretch.
And honestly, maybe with the way the Blazers season has gone and the way that their franchise has gone over the past couple of seasons, maybe you do hang on to Simons and CJ McCollum is the guy who is traded. You would think that CJ being in his prime, being, you know, on the fringes of all-star conversations for the past couple of seasons, perhaps he is able to bring back a bigger return in whatever packages, because he would certainly be the star of that package. You imagine that the Blazers are going to have one of these two guys, because Damian Lillard, he's locked in as your backcourt guy. So if the Blazers ever decide to make some changes to the look of their team, I could see either Simons or McCollum being the guy. And it kind of at that point, it'll depend on what the team they're trading with is more interested in.
Yeah.
You want a young guy who could develop into a CJ McCollum, or do you want the current McCollum? Let me know. Give me a call.
Yeah, good point. As for that Wolves-Rockets game, that was a big game in terms of the bottom of the Western Conference standings. So Minnesota, with the win, improved to 19-44. They're 3.5 games up on Houston. Houston, I believe Tass had it on What You Need to Know Today. They basically are locking themselves into a 50% chance of keeping their pick, because they have to be top four. That pick is protected. And that's right now, being the worst record in the league, would be their chances, 50% of staying within there. Of course, Minnesota has their own protections on picks with the Wiggins trade, and whether or not they keep that, we'll see. But the Rockets are a cool 4-37 since February 4th. Wow. Again, Coach of the Year to Steven Silas. I believe he deserves it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Our next one. Had some big games from Giannis, from Luka. You know, Lillard, like you said, Lee, had a bit of a breakout game. He looked a little bit Damian Lillard-like from months ago. But I want to know, because you brought it up yesterday, or was it the day before, talking about Booker and Chris Paul and where are they in the MVP conversation and blah, 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 blah. I am asking it like this. Most likely not at the MVP table. Giannis, Luka, and Lillard. Or Lillard. So, we have decided that they're... Now, it's usually top five votes for MVP. I think we've decided there's like six people at our MVP table, because that's just a nice number for a table. You get a nice round table. Everybody's talking. Everybody's sharing drinks. But of those three, Lou, Ali, which one is not going to be at the MVP table? That's tough, because we all agree that it's Jokic, Embiid, and Curry are three. And let's just say it's Let's say it's only five, like five no-dunks guys out having pizza and wine. Who's not there?
Well, I'm going to start with who is there. And I think Giannis does put himself in there because I think his numbers and the fact that he came into the season basically having to convince everyone that he can still win it, because we sort of said, there's no way you can win it this year. Mm-hmm. But he's been great. They have the better record. His numbers are still fantastic. So when I looked deeper into Luka and Lillard this morning, it's basically impossible to split these guys in terms of their numbers. Both have played 56 games.
Okay.
Both average. So Doncic averages 28.6, Lillard 28.3.
Yep.
Lillard shoots 43% from the floor, Doncic 48, but Lillard shoots better from three at 37 versus 35, or 36 really, if you want. Lillard's much better at the line. In terms of rebounds, that's Doncic clearly. In terms of assists, it's Doncic again by one assist. So then if you look at the record, well, the Blazers are one game back of the Dallas Mavericks.
Right.
So, you know, it's basically a flip of the coin between those two. I will just choose Luka simply because his numbers are a teensy tiny bit better across the board, and he has one extra win over Lillard. That's what.
Lillard is not at the MVP table.
I had to find something to split them, and Lillard potentially, as we are today, misses out on the playoffs completely. Luka would be in the playoffs,
right.
So I'm giving Luka at the tiniest bump out of those two. But I think Giannis, honestly, has done enough to get himself in that conversation.
Okay.
The Bucks are still making, even though it's a less likely charge now for that number one spot. I mean, there's 3.5 games back of the Nets. I don't think they get them. But if they do, and again, their record's only 4 games, I believe, better than the Dallas Mavericks. So it's not as though they're you know, 10 yeah. games up on them. But that's it. I mean, it was very, very difficult to find a reason why one of them would be convincingly ahead of the other out of the two guards there, the backcourt players. But I just went with Luka because I thought if the playoffs started today, that great word there, that great cliche, the Mavericks are in and the Blazers are not necessarily in.
Okay. Trey, most likely not at this MVP table. Giannis, Luka, or Lillard? Who's being kicked aside?
I think Lee nailed it. That's exactly my pick as well. Giannis, he's in. He's at the James Harden level right now, where you're going to have to find a reason to keep him out of your top five because, I mean, the stats are crazy. He's putting up the same kind of numbers he put up last year as an MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, but the Bucks seem to have a little bit less desire to be the best team in the league during the regular season, but I still think Giannis is there. And I'm going with Luka over Lillard there for the last spot at my table because of the rebounds. Lee mentioned it. You know, he's so far ahead on rebounds. I'm kidding. To me, if you asked this question in February, you got Lillard over Doncic. But Doncic has been playing a little bit better than Lillard during the stretch run of the season here. Whereas Luka kind of struggled out of the gate. He wasn't shooting a great percentage from three, but obviously that has turned around over the course of the season. It's probably going to come down to that last number though, Lee, the wins. Right now, the yeah. Mavericks are ahead, so I've got Luka ahead as well.
Yeah, bad timing here for Lillard in having his worst stretch of the season, no doubt. Again, decent game last night against the Pacers, but prior to that, had not been shooting the ball well, had been really, really, really struggling for him. You know, he was, like you said, Lee, what's he average, like 28 per game, basically. It was over the last little stretch, he was averaging like 22.
Yeah.
For Lillard, that's like, ugh, that's not good. So I think you guys got this one right. I think Giannis is in there. I think Luka is just ahead of Lillard right now. But damn, league's looking pretty good when Lillard, having the season he had, very likely will not. I don't even know. I guess Lillard's going to still be top 10 when it's all said and done in terms of votes. Maybe he probably slips in there, but like Booker and Chris Paul are in the mix here. And, you know, who knows? I think a lot of the Nets guys have missed too many games to maybe warrant enough votes. Same with LeBron, of course, but we'll see here. All right, final one. This one's a weird one, guys, but just stick with me. The Golden State Warriors have become the first professional sports team to launch an NFT collection. They decided to create digital championship rings to commemorate each of the team's 6 NBA titles, as well as digital ticket stubs from some of their most iconic games. If you're joining us on the stream team or you're watching this on YouTube, we're showing you this pretty slick website, if I'm being honest here, that you're going to be able to go bid on this stuff, these NFTs, non-fungible tokens. The ring's there spinning away. Oh, what's that one's opening?
Whoa, look at that. I forgot about that part.
Yes,
very, very cool. The last warrior's ring comes apart and turns into a spaceship.
Yeah, so, and then there's like a weird super ring there with all of them. My goodness. So, there's this. Okay, that's good enough, JD. And then in completely unrelated news, Josh Giddey, a 6'8" Australian playmaking guard, is entering the 2021 NBA draft. Giddey is the, I believe he's the number 13th prospect right now, according to ESPN's top 100 rankings. Could climb higher in the lottery here. A lot of people are in love with his game. Gifted passing guard, Lili. He's got a flair for the spectacular, Woj wrote. So,
just like again, my mate.
Yeah, this is weird, right? We got these Warriors NFTs. We got an Australian going into the draft. What's the tie that brings it all together? Well, come on. Look, Trey's always talking about NFTs. Lee's always talking about his Aussie guys. So, what's the bigger No Dunks news? The Warriors launching an NFT collection or Australian Josh Giddey entering the NBA draft? What you got? TK, get us started.
I'm sure Lee is giddy about Josh.
Yeah.
But these Warriors NFTs are fire, Skeets. The first digital championship ring, they actually look cool, like you're saying. I love seeing it spinning there. You actually get to see the old-timey rings. I was flipping through these on my phone earlier. Isla was looking. She's like, what's that one? It was the first championship that's just like a basketball with a tiny little diamond on the top. Quite the glow-up for the NBA over the past 70 years. I love the utility with these, though. The number ones get actual replicas of the championship ring. And we saw it earlier. There's the Thanos ring that's there. Combines all six Warriors rings. You put it in, snap, they win another championship. And you get a one-of-one actual ring. Right now, the bid is at 10 ETH, which is about $27,000.
Wow.
I hope that's Guy Fieri getting in on that one, personally. Gotta be a Warriors super fan to be rocking the Thanos ring. But the real reason I love these, there's another NBA team out there with six titles. I've got a little bit of interest here in the Warriors rings. I was there for the clincher in 2015 and 2018, so I could be tempted there, but I would have immense interest in a Bulls version of this should they ever come out with something similar. So I'm happy to see somebody blazing the trail here.
Yeah, okay. And doing it in style, I believe, too. It really looks cool.
Good.
I like the ticket stubs, too. I can't remember if I shared this before. I went on a weird eBay run about a decade ago where I was like purchasing old NBA ticket stubs. Not really sure why, but I have them all, and like they're just really random. But I just thought they looked cool. I was gonna like do something with them, like turn them into an art piece. I never did. But anyway, these are showing you again here, these virtual ticket stubs. I did notice they didn't have the final regular season game played in the Oracle, but I couldn't find the final playoff game played in the Oracle.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, I was trying to find that as a Raptors fan, but I couldn't locate it on the website. Maybe that you have to unlock it somehow. Anyway, Lee, Trey's going with the NFT collection here from the Warriors. What about you, though? Bigger No Dunks news. You going with your Aussie mate?
Well, just before I get to that, I think if people see what the Warriors do, I think the Bulls are absolutely going to do it as well. I mean, it seems like it's money for nothing for teams to produce this stuff. So I think they're going to do it, and then everyone will start producing it. But yeah, I'm going with Josh Giddey because his dad is another guy who I watched as a kid playing for the Melbourne Tigers with Andrew Gaze. Warwick Giddey was his dad. And
Gazy and Giddey, who could forget?
Yeah, well, Giddey was
G&G Nuts and Bolts fan.
He was the guy, the junkyard dog of the Melbourne Tigers team. You know, scrappy guy. So I haven't seen much of Josh. I've seen the odd highlight here and there, so I have no idea if he's going to be a good player or not. But the fact that he is projected to go fairly high tells me that he's got some game out there. So it's incredible when I see so many of these guys going back, you know, to Dante Exum, you know, Ben Simmons, Jared Utoff. He had a cup of coffee in the league. I don't know where he is these days. So many of these guys, I watch their dads playing, and now they're much better than their dads. They're playing in the NBA. It's incredible. Jonah Bolden was another one who was there with the Sixers there for a while. So it's wild, man. It's like, and the thing is, Warwick Giddey, like, he played 30 years ago. So he must have waited, I guess, until the end of his playing career to have any kids, because you know, Josh must only be 18 or 19, and Warwick, he hasn't played in 20 years, I'm sure, in the NBL. So I guess he just was like, yeah, I'm getting my playing career done, and then I'm going to start a family. I don't know, man, maybe he's got some brothers, I don't know, but it's just wild, man. Like the NBL had a boom time in the early 90s in Australia,
And now we're seeing, you know, like Brett Brown was the coach of one of the teams, you know? I mean, it's wild stuff.
Well, just think about it, Lee. People are going to be saying something similar in 30 years when when Oscar's got his own podcast talking about hopes. And like, oh, my God, that's the son of Lee Ellis? That's the guy with all the pencils. Yeah.
Well, he started shooting on the big hoop here, too, at home. So
How's the form look?
Well, it needs a little bit of work, but he knocked in a career high. He had a career high 16 makes the other day in one day. So, he shot like 400 times, but
volume shooter.
He had two in a row. And like his big brother said, when they have a swish, they call them freshers. So he had a couple of freshers there that he was pretty excited for. So, maybe something's on its way there. Who knows? Yeah. It'll be funny if one represents Canada and the other represents America at the Olympics and they go against each other.
That'd be a great battle. Awesome. Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. What would Dickie even do? What would Grandpa do?
He'd just be happy. On the side.
He'd be like, wasn't it the Currys did that when the Blazers played the Warriors in a playoff series? That's right. Dad wore the one jersey, Mom wore the other jersey. I think that's right.
Yeah, Dad would probably he would probably coach one for the first half and the other one for the second half. Just pass it around. That's what I remember when Dad used to coach us. Just pass it around. Everyone just pass it around. Keep everyone involved.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, that's what you got. Again, weird one there to end with, but let's hear from everybody out there in the stream team. Drop your answers in the YouTube comments. Heck, tweet at us if you want, if you're listening to the podcast. What you got there with all four of those? Okay. I pitched to it earlier. It's been a while. Time for some top five fun.
Top five, top five, top five. Top five, top five, top five.
Yeah. Top five, TK. What are we working with here today?
Oh yeah, it's been a minute, Skeets. I don't even remember the last top five. But what are we working with today? We're working off of a tweet from Antoine Azarad, who tweeted us and said, "You guys talked about the different Porter Juniors on yesterday's Daily Show. Otto Porter Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr. Every Porter in the league right now is a junior." So right. Antoine says, how about a junior top five? Who in the history of the league has been the best junior? The name has to include junior. No former player sons. I will be skirting that part of the rule a little bit, but I think you guys will agree that it's legit. But these will be your top five juniors. But first we will start. Wearing junior on the jersey is a pretty recent phenomenon. As far as I can tell, there are 17 players who have ever actually had junior on the back of their jerseys per Basketball Reference. Take, for instance, Mike Conley. He's Mike Conley Jr. We remember his dad from the Olympics. He came into the league as Mike Conley Jr., but he's worn Mike Conley on his jersey. Well, he's just worn Conley, actually. but you get it. Nonetheless, you guys want to try and name the 17 players who have had junior on the back of their jersey? I'll give you the ones that you certainly won't get. Walt Lemon Jr., only Bulls fans will get that one, had three 20-point games. Vernon Carey Jr. is the only active guy that I think would be a tough one. He's played almost 20 games, I think, for the Charlotte Hornets. But sure, give me a quick run through here.
Jaren Jackson.
Yep. Good.
Porter Jr.
Yep, all of them.
Yeah, all three. Is there Jaunte? Is Jaunte Porter? No, he's not a junior. He's the one that's not. Never mind.
Right.
Okay, so three.
Gary Trent.
Gary Trent Jr. Good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
Skeets. You love this guy. You love this guy. You think he's going to go for 50 every time we ask the question?
Oh, Tim Hardaway.
There you go. How about this guy? Maybe the most handsome guy in the league, but not a great 3-point shooter. He's got his own Oasis. And this is a guy who came into the league with a junior. You don't hear it as much these days. Kelly Oubre Jr.
Very handsome.
Okay, so the junior's maybe not as memorable as I was hoping for you guys.
Really?
There's a lot of them out there, though, so I'm gonna skip this. We're going to go straight to our top five juniors because you guys are letting me down a little bit, to be completely honest. Like, where are you with Wendell Carter Jr.? Skeets, come on. Derrick Jones Jr. You love Derrick Jones Jr. Troy Brown Jr. TBJ. Ooh. Come on, guys.
That's a good one. I wouldn't have got that one.
Your top five juniors. Here they are. At number five, J.R. Ryder. Drafted as a JR, eventually started going by Isaiah. His name was Isaiah Ryder Jr., a good scorer. Eventually got a ring with the Lakers, even though he wasn't on the playoff roster. Pretty troubled guy off the court. But he makes this list solely because of timing. We saw that crazy near miss from Joel Embiid a week ago. Would have been an all-time legendary make. JR Ryder has one of the league's best random makes in history.
Yep.
This is on his Wikipedia page, just chucking the ball over his shoulder.
Switch. Freshy.
So fresh on bump day. Look at this. This is a swish from, what, 35 feet? I think somebody called this the play of the decade. Like, if this is the play of the decade in the 1990s, I will disagree with that, but it is certainly a memorable shot, and that's the kind of thing where it's like, we've got the Devin Harris half-quarter. Yep. We've got that crazy shot from Isaiah J.R. Ryder. Embiid's would have fit in perfectly there.
Oh, yeah.
Rex Chapman? Rex Chapman's got one, I think, as well. That's a crazy make like that. So that is why J.R. Ryder is making the list here.
I didn't know he was Isaiah Ryder Jr. I'd never had put that together, that's where the J.R. Ryder came from. Didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Learning things here.
All right. At number four... Antoine said no NBA sons, but I got to include one at number four, Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm going with JJJ for a couple of reasons here. Number one, when the J becomes part of your nickname, I think that's big.
Yep.
And JJJ's got it twice because people call him JJJ, people call him Triple J, and he ain't Jeff Jarrett. I love it. Number two, I think he is the junior in the league right now who is this sounds weird, who is the most better than his dad. Tim Hardaway, Larry Nance, Kenyon Martin, Glenn Rice. You're taking the dads in those scenarios at this point. I think Gary Trent Jr., kind of debatable.
Mm. Close.
Yeah, it's close. Still just his second season as a known guy in the league, really, Gary Trent Jr. Gary Trent started more games still at this point than Gary Trent Jr. has. I think Jr. will catch senior eventually, but right now Jaren Jackson Jr. has already caught his dad. He started more games than journeyman Jaren Jackson. There's another Triple J for you. Cool. And that's with Jaren Jackson Jr. missing a huge chunk of this season as well. So that's your number four, JJJ.
Awesome. I love it.
At number three, J.R. Reed, aka Herman Reed Jr. Why? No reason. Literally no reason. I just thought J.R. Reed was very cool back in the day. Played for UNC, played for the Hornets, had a flat top. He's like just a 90s guy who I always thought was cool.
Yeah. I remember every once in a while when you're popping packs, Lele, you would get a J.R. Reed and we would always get very excited for no reason. Yeah.
He definitely was one of those early 90s, like fit the Charlotte Hornets sort of like cool guy style. Didn't really have the career that I thought he was going to have, though, because he was a big college prospect, I think. I think he got drafted fairly high, if I remember correctly.
J.R. Reed, he went fifth overall in the 89 draft.
Yep.
And I think he was like 11 points a game over his first three seasons, because I went back and looked, and I was thinking, I don't know, he must have scored 20 a game for me to have this image of J.R. Reed in my head. Nope. But he was very cool. So he comes in at number three.
Hold on. His name was Herman?
Herman Reed Jr.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And if I'm not mistaken, his dad is a former NFL player, actually.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
I can't fact check you for that one. But yeah, I'll take your word. Yeah.
Yep. At number two, Michael Porter Jr. He comes in at number two because the junior has become part of his nickname as well, MPJ. I almost called him MPB&J, but it's just MPJ is the nickname. We're living in the age of juniors on the jersey. And since he's the best one right now, I got him ranked highest amongst active players. Y'all think that's fair?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so. I got no problem with that.
All right. Excellent. At number one, I'm sure you've already guessed it at this point. J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, I know what you're thinking. Wait a second here. Isn't he Earl Smith III? Not even a junior? Well, I disagree. JD?
Junior Smythe. Junior Smythe.
Wow, it's been a while.
It's been a while. I hope you're listening, Matty-O. My man loved Run for the Cube or whatever it was called back in the day. What a way back playback. Junior.
Junior Smythe.
But that's who all the people wanted to come in number one on the top five juniors list. So we had to give it to him, even if he's not technically a junior. Close enough. Roll it one more time, please, JD.
Junior Smythe. Junior Smythe.
Still perfect.
Yeah.
It's still so good.
Early basketball internet was a little different. You can get, you know, 500,000 views just from saying a name hilariously. I feel like Mike Dunleavy had a really good one.
there was a lot of good ones. Oh,
he totally was a junior too.
Good one.
So a lot of people on the stream team are saying, where the hell is Steph Curry? Isn't he a junior? Wardell. But he's not a junior, I don't think. He goes by number two, I think.
He is. He's a second.
Yeah. He's a second. So, yeah, there's technicality for you.
Well, that's
you.
The thing. If you throw junior into Basketball Reference, which was my first stop on this journey, you get all the juniors out there. The most surprising to me, I would say probably the best junior in NBA history, Irvin Johnson Jr. You may know him better as Magic.
Wow.
There's a lot of juniors out there. It's also very funny. If you search for JR period in Basketball Reference, what do you think is the very first name that comes up?
JR period? Like,
like on the back of a jersey you would see, you know?
Yeah. JR Reed or something like that? I don't know.
You would think it would be somebody who's a junior, but it's actually Rodney Stuckey, because one of his nicknames is Curtis Jackson Jr. Because everybody thought he looked like 50 Cent.
Right. Okay. Man, just dropping mad facts here with this top five. Here's a question. Who's the greatest junior in all of sports, Lily? Who gets that honor? Ken Griffey Jr.'s gotta be high on that list. Is there anyone in the tennis world or cricket world or race car driving world that you know?
I mean, they don't instantly come to mind because I just don't think of any. I don't like this person at all, but Floyd Mayweather's a junior, I believe.
Oh, is he? Oh,
yes.
He is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's Ken Griffey, by the way.
Ken Griffey's good. I was actually a little nervous to do this. I was watching a baseball game over the weekend, and Tim Kirkjian did his top juniors in baseball history because, you know, like you're saying, Ken Griffey Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Ronald Acuna Jr., like some of the biggest stars in baseball are juniors. But I continued watching this game, and just like I'm seeing in the stream team here, the suggestions for juniors are ridiculous. Like, this guy, Tim Kirkjian, is like, oh, and now I got Junior Felix texting me saying, where's Junior Felix on your
junior
list?
Junior Felix, hey, from the Blue Jays.
Come on, and now we got people suggesting Dale Earnhardt Jr., Carlos Sainz Jr.
Oh.
Somebody hit me with an Al Unser Jr. to really make me feel great. There are a lot of juniors out there. As it turns out, if your dad was a professional athlete, you might get some good genes here. You might be able to make it to the league as well.
A lot of people saying, Lili, I can't believe you didn't say this. Neymar is a junior. Brazilian
soccer
player.
Yeah, he is. Again, but he doesn't really go by that.
It?
Nah, I not know. Really. Nah. That's like, there was a Junior Murray who played cricket for the West Indies, but that was his name. He wasn't a junior. He wasn't Junior Murray Jr.
Yeah.
Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, wasn't there a Canadian baseball player named Stubby?
Oh yeah, Stubby Clap.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nothing will ever beat that to me.
Nah,
because I immediately think of the Stubby beer bottle.
Yeah.
You had those in Australia for sure.
Yeah, yeah. We had an Australian rules football player called Willie Dick.
Oh, that was his Willie Dick. Was he good?
Nah, not that good. Nah, great name though.
Schlong he played got
with,
in the way.
Yeah, he played with Shea Cockatoo Collins.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
The Cockaboys. Great. Okay, awesome. The facts keep coming here. Great top five. Let TK know though who he missed, either in the NBA world of juniors or just the entire sports world. Let us know in the comments below. Help us defeat the algorithm as we do so.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Lee, it's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, Lee?
Yeah, well, I've got a video to play, but it actually works okay for the audio fans as well, the audio listeners, because it is just audio. You don't really have to see it. And it comes from Chris Hayes from All In With Chris last night on NBC. He had Dr. Anthony Fauci on,
okay,
and they were talking a little hoops out there.
You and I have talked about a timeline before, specifically around the thing that I missed probably the most of pre-COVID life, which is playing pickup basketball indoors with people. And we talked about the safety of that. You had at one point said, look, we're looking at winter of 2021, sometime in that November, December range that, you know, we could, you and I can maybe play a little pickup or, you know, I could play pickup. I don't know. Depends on if you're still game. Point being, are we closer now, given the rate that we've been vaccinating at?
If you're vaccinated and I'm vaccinated, we can play a pickup game tomorrow. I'll probably destroy you, but that's okay. But we could play a pickup game tomorrow.
So, you know, Anthony Fauci's done a great job there guiding America out of this chaos. I mean, there's still a long way to go. But, you know, when there's a little bit of trash talk, that means we might be a little bit closer to running again on Wednesday night. So, that's great, isn't it? Everyone just loves basketball. They love talking the smack more than even getting out on the court.
Sure.
I think we're close.
It's part of basketball culture, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris Hayes. I think he's a Knicks fan as well. I think Chris Hayes. So he's if he is, he's probably riding high now. I'd have to fact check that, but I think I've seen him tweet about the Knicks before. But yeah, so
so Dr. hold on. Fauci. Important part there. Dr. Fauci says if we're vaxxed to the max, that's a key part. Like, okay, if I've got both my doses, you got yours. Yep. Trey's got his. So. Like, do you think we're going to be going to pick up runs here in the near future, but you're going to have to show your vaccination card?
I wouldn't mind doing that. I'd be happy to do that.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean, I guess if you're playing with friends, you either just like can take them at their word. But, you know, you pick up runs, you get a bunch of strangers showing up or friends of friends and stuff like that. I'm just like, I'm literally wondering out loud, is that where we're going to get with this? Like, all right.
I noticed the court up the road from my place, they've actually got the hoops back up on the outside court. So, you know, I think that's probably where I would start first. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I wouldn't be offended if someone said, you can come and play, you just got to bring your vaccination card.
Sure.
Okay, no worries, that's fine. But, you know, there'll be people out there, you're infringing on my civil rights. Like, come on, man, just get vaccinated, then you can go and play. That's all we're asking. Just...
Who do you have in a one-on-one game, though? You or Fauci? That's what I want to know.
Well, I hope it's Fauci. I mean, if he's talking trash in prime time, he's got to back it up. So, yeah. Let's get him on the show. Let's just see how good his basketball is.
I don't know this for sure. I feel like he's a tiny guy, right?
Yeah, I think so. But hey, yeah. That's all right. Schumann's a tiny guy, but Schumann gets inside. Hey, played against Schumann. He throws his body
Schumann's good.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think I'd call him tiny. I guess he's short.
Big Schumann's 5'9".
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's short, I guess. Yeah, I mean... Tiny though? When I think tiny, I thought Fauci was like maybe 5'4 or something like that. Am I going crazy now with that? I'm looking up Fauci's height. How tall are you, Fauci?
You're looking up Fauci's height. I'm scrolling Chris Hayes' timeline because I saw a tweet about him. I don't know. He had some NBA tweet recently that I wanted to reference, but I can't find it here. Here we go from last night. Important question. Is Kelly Oubre Jr. the best looking player in the NBA? Discuss.
Wow.
Maybe.
He's very, very handsome. Maybe. There's no Al Horford is still a sexy man. He's not playing anymore, unfortunately. Fauci, first thing that came up, Lily, 5'7". Okay, so that means he's 5'6". We all know that. And apparently he led his high school basketball team. So he can hoop.
He's got a bucket, man.
Apparently
he's a
really good basketball player. I'm reading some article right now. I'm scrolling it, obviously, from like 2020. So, oh, yeah, it says right here, 5'7 listed, but he's more like 5'5", okay? He's tiny, that's my point.
Listed? Where's this listed?
Tony!
Wow, oh, there we go.
58, yearbook. All right. Okay, everybody get vaccinated so we can all play hoops. All right, Lee, I want to see you out on the court soon. We're vaxxed to the max. Let's do it soon here, right?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm ready, man. Ready to go.
All right.
Do you think are the odds that we have Chris Hayes versus Dr. Fauci at halftime of the next All-Star game? You know that the NBA loves to bring in some celebs. They love to do something interesting during an All-Star weekend. We've seen Charles Barkley race Dick Bavetta. We've seen a three-point contest with Kevin Hart shooting on a tiny hoop. It sounds ridiculous, but I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that you could see a one-on-one game between Chris Hayes and Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, I don't think it's that far-fetched.
I'm giving Hayes, I think Hayes should win, but maybe Fauci's just got the outside old man game.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so, man. He was leading his high school team. It's fantastic.
But they probably didn't have the three-pointer when he was in his prime, so he adopted that. Who knows?
He was playing
his
on, playing on peach baskets, basically, this guy, with the big old calves of his. All right. Good tweet. That was a fantastic tweet tonight, especially for even all you big fans of audio out there.
Works for them too. Yeah. They can get in on this.
He said pitching to it. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. It was the Blazers in Indiana, Portland, favored by 5.5. Had to win by 6 or more, despite being on that 5-game losing streak. And they came through. Pick 'em results brought to you by BetMGM. I forgot to say that part. So I needed it, and I got it. And I'm trying to get back into this thing as we run out of time here in April. I had Portland winning big. Trey had Portland winning big. So I'm 8-11. I'm in last place right now. But Lee took the L. Tass took the L. So Tass is 11-8. He's fine. He's in the clear. Trey, those 10-9 now. And Lee, you're 10-9. I'm 2 games back from both of you guys. It's Wednesday here. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to pick from here for the month of April. So I am technically still alive. Tonight's game, Tass picked it. Hornets, Celtics. Woo! 2 teams there trying to stay out of the play-in tournament. Both a back-to-back situation because the Hornets lost to the Bucks last night. Celtics obviously lost to OKC. Dort. Boston's favored by 7.5, gentlemen. 7.5 points, the Boston Celtics. So Vegas expects them to bounce back. Let's find out who Tass has first here, JD.
I've got the Celtics in this one for all the reasons you guys said, or didn't say if you're taking the Hornets, or are about to say if you haven't talked about them yet.
Way to cover all your bases there, Tass. Smart. Okay, so Boston for Tass by 8 or more. Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I do expect to bounce back, and I expect Jason Tatum to play. Kemba won't, but I think the Celtics are going to come out. And they've also got the revenge factor. They lost a pretty big one to the Hornets a week ago, I don't know, Friday or something like that. So I expect Boston to cover that 8 points.
Wow, okay. TK, this is obviously huge here. Where do you want to go in this Hornets-Celtics game? You got Boston winning by 8 or more?
I mean, that's a huge line. That's a huge line for a team that has been seriously struggling. What's the deal with Boston Rob Williams? Is that guy going to play? That, to me, is the biggest question, because the Celtics really don't put pressure on the rim without him out there. Nonetheless, I'm going to go with the Beantown boys as well. Whoa. You don't lose. I mean, you don't lose by 30 and then lay a dud the next time out.
Oh, my God. I mean, I almost have to take the Hornets if you guys are all taking the Celtics. I mean, I'm getting a big line here against a team in Boston, like you said, that is not playing phenomenal basketball. The Hornets are a scrappy bunch. You know, like, I guess, what did they end up losing by last night to the Bucks? It was around 8 points or something like that. So it could be one of these close ones. Give me the Charlotte Hornets, though. I'll take them here. I got to swerve. This basically will decide it. This will be big here. I need the Hornets to cover. They only got to lose by seven or less, or, of course, go get that victory. All right, I'm taking the Hornets. Everybody else has the Beantown boys. Big game. Can't wait to tune into that one. That's it for us here with the No Dunks Daily Show. But later today, Beach, step in, putting our toes in the sand to read your emails. Send them in, by the way, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in at nodunksinc. But join us live here on YouTube at 3 p.m. Eastern as we read your questions and comments there on the beach. Always fun. Please like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And if you haven't already, subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks for fantastic, obviously, reporters work on all the NBA teams. Great podcast too, ad-free if you want. Have you guys been listening still to the Shattered Knicks podcast on The Athletic? It is fantastic, and there's a great accompanying article right now about, they got the Sopranos basically back together to pitch LeBron James on coming to New York when he was a free agent before the decision. It's really cool on the Shattered podcast. Mike Vorkunov with the article there too, breaking it all down. Like, where is this lost tape, basically? Like, it's Tony Soprano and
Carmella.
Carmella, thank you. Like, got together for this thing. And so people are like, is it canon that Tony is alive at the end of The Sopranos? Like, this whole thing. Anyway, check it out, theathletic.com/nodunks, to get your Athletic subscription so you can get all the podcasts ad-free, and you can obviously get all these fantastic articles. Okay, guys, we'll see you later today. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, have a blessed bump day.
Embrace the bump, people.
You could stay.